You're listening to Around Comics, episode 188. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by.
Drop by, but don't talk to us.
There's no one here behind, to talk to us.
Stay behind the rope. Until we motion to you, then you may enter the club.
Then you may take two steps forward, but no more than two steps.
You have a better chance of getting in if you bring girls with you. It's a bunch of guys.
Well, the girls have a better chance of getting in.
You might have to wait behind the ropes.
Yeah. Hank, you may enter it. All right, and this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com, where waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. And right now, InStockTrades.com is offering our Book of the Month selection, the Starman Omnibus Volume 1, for an amazing 37% off the cover price. At last, the hit series created by James Robinson and Tony Harris is collected in a series of six spectacular hardcover editions.
Six?
Absolutely. Yeah.
God. How many issues were there? 90 or something?
80-something, but they're collecting the Shade series and everything.
Which is very cool.
And, like, anything that James Robinson wrote that involved Starman, except for the JSA issues, because they don't kind of tie into the...
I have comments about that. I started reading, but I won't be here when you guys discuss it, but maybe later maybe. I'll talk.
It's good stuff, and the inaugural volume, which we will be talking about, features a new cover by Tony Harrison, collects Starman issue numbers 0 through 16, and actually you can listen in on Monday, July 7th for our Book of the Month episode on the Starman Omnibus Volume 1.
Best zero issue ever?
It's good.
Question mark? Question mark. Yeah, that's a new thing, Mike. When you ask a question, make sure you say question at the end.
Question?
For the transcribers. Question?
I'm going to try
it. We have transcribers?
Question?
No, not the question.
It was a statement.
You didn't like it the first time?
I can't say that I didn't like it. I just, I bought like the first three trades. So I have that second trade that's so hard to get, and I just stopped.
Yeah,
it wasn't enough to like keep me going because I wanted to read it because I never heard anybody say that it's not the most spectacular thing they've ever read. So I had to find out what was so great about it. But I'm going to try it again.
I'm about halfway through. Yeah. The first one.
I'm about halfway through.
I'm about a third of the way.
I'm never reading.
I don't even
there
know
you go. There's your update on where we are.
Where we are.
All right. Well, I'm Christopher
Neesman.
We got
2 hours to fill.
let me introduce you to the rest of today's panel. First of all, my partner in crime is back with us, Mr.
Yo.
Brian Salazar. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you, gentlemen? You gentles.
What brought you back? Boredom?
Yeah, I wasn't doing anything tonight.
The kids weren't...
No, actually, I thought about it. My family's actually not home tonight. I could be at home by myself.
Playing video games?
Yeah, watching porn or something. Good like
doing
that.
Doing both at the same time. Yeah. Because there's nothing holding
Eating
you back.
Bad.
Those Japanese games.
But no, I decided... there you go.
Did you see that there... What's the one that was on like Spike that had the really hilarious voiceovers with all the
Wario's Porn Palace?
Well, no, they've repurposed one of these. They're called Wipeout now. It was what XZM or whatever.
I don't know.
It was it's so.
You're talking about a TV show or a video game?
TV show.
Oh, the last video game.
They got a TV show.
Yeah, there's two of them now. It's I Survived a Japanese Game Show and Wipeout, and they're both like Japanese games.
The last video game I finished was Kid Icarus. back in 1987. Kidding.
Hey, I've almost
beaten it 150 times.
I've almost got to my level 55 in Call of Duty 4, so I'm very excited. Wow.
I can't play those. I can't play those.
I think I'm like on level 30, and I've had that game for like at least a year longer than you did.
He found a loophole where he could get a lot of experience without actually having to kill anyone.
Play headquarters.
I went to I tried playing Call of Duty a couple weeks ago, and it traumatized me. I mean, like,
post-traumatic stress.
And then I played some like Wii Sports, and that was like more my level, because I wasn't like shooting people, and I was just like, I feel uncomfortable.
Don't play Grand Theft Auto, though.
No, yeah, just I don't know what it is about me, but I get weird. Like,
I'm about 10% through Grand Theft Auto, and I still don't know if I like it or not.
I'm halfway through, and I've decided to stop playing.
Did you see the Onion article about
the incompetent cops?
Incompetent Liberty City police officer.
An investigation needs to be... It is
50,000 carjackings.
Marta gets so weirded out by me playing Call of Duty that she went out and bought Dead Rising because she thought that would be a little bit calmer in the house.
No, dude, you're under a timer with that. That stresses you out even more. That was the first game I bought, and I stopped playing it just because it was like, I can't do this in time.
I'm waiting for a nice fishing game.
Got like 72 hours to save everybody in a mall.
There's all sorts of fishing.
Relax, I can drink and fish in my living room. Next summer.
There are moments of Call
of Duty.
There's
a wee fishing rod.
When I was playing it on the story mode, that I was sitting there and I'd have to press pause, and I'm like, man, this is tense. I think I've got post-traumatic stress disorder.
You need to talk to someone.
Norn's got shell shock.
After playing those crazy bastards online, the story mode is easy. The story is easy.
Norn wakes up and no! What happened? I was thinking about how I shot that kid in Call of Duty.
Hank killed Hank.
No, it's the other way around.
Yeah, Hank's a killer.
He's like a ninja.
Next is our edutainment master.
I don't like that.
No.
Edutainment professor.
You know, I got a
Dr. Funny.
Dr. Funny.
He's also the host PhD. Of Tom versus the JLA. He's, of course, Mr. Tom Gators.
Thank you.
I
am the host.
He
and,
is Tom versus
writer,
the JLA.
Editor, producer.
There's no guests.
It's a turnkey operation, that Tom versus the JLA.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. I can't wait to be done with the Justice League.
Are you getting a little tired of it?
If it wasn't for Aquaman being such a douchebag for issue after issue.
When are you going to stop?
When I get to the end of Volume 1. I'm going to do The Flash next.
Oh, cool.
Very nice.
Tom versus The Flash doesn't have quite a...
I'm going to keep calling it Tom versus the JLA, and if people complain about it,
I'd like to see the person that complains.
You know, your title no longer reflects...
Did not that just
JLA,
continuity
right?
change?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
And last but certainly not least is the current artist of Green Arrow and Black Canary, and also doing supplemental stories for DC's weekly series Trinity. He is Mr. Mike Norton.
Hello.
Hello. And Crankcast.
Oh yeah, we're all doing. We all have podcasts except for you.
Me and Tom are working on a little something special.
We got something
in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now it's the cross state lines Crankcast. Now that Crank is left,
is that
the
illegal?
Confines.
If you guys talk about like
if
pornography
we're drinking while we do it.
Yeah, if you're drinking or watching porn across state lines.
Pretty sure that we might
watch it. FBI.
That's why I don't drink anymore while I do the show.
Can't drink over
because you can't tell him to. You can't tell Crank to stop.
He's got to have that rum and diet Dr. Pepper or diet Mountain Dew or whatever.
Rum and diet Mountain Dew. Oh,
he hasn't done that. He hasn't done that in a while. He's back to the regular beer now, but.
Good for him.
I think he's doubled his smoking output, though, I think, since he's moved.
He went from quitting to smoking even more.
Yeah, I think
he's catching up. He's got to catch up.
He tried both. He's
got to get the Nick levels back up in
my
blood.
I think he's pretty much setting packs on fire.
He just lights it and throws it in the room.
I'll get enough out of that.
He's making tobacco bonfires.
So I miss Craig.
Me too. It's only been like 2 weeks.
I know, I miss Craig.
I get to hear him every week.
That's true. That's true. In the internet age, you never
I'll
really can
see
miss
him as much as I did before.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
All right, well, I tell you what, let's go ahead and talk about what we've been reading the last couple weeks. It is time for... top of the stack. That's right, it's top of the stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last couple weeks.
Because I got my game turned all the way up.
Oh, David Price. Poor David in his little room of seclusion on Wednesday night.
I can't wake up my wife.
I can't wake up Renee. I hear dead people.
She gets very angry.
Secret Invasion's really good. Shut up, Chris.
All right, Mr. Caters, what is your top of the stack?
My top of the stack is The 12, number 6 of 12, written by J. Michael Straczynski and with art by Chris Weston. I think I picked this once already, and when I was on the iFanboy video show, I also picked this as...
Wow, you really like it.
I do. I really do like it. And I went back, and I wanted to go back and listen to what I said about it previously because I didn't want to duplicate it, but it's been a long enough time that I have different thoughts about
That's
it than
good.
I did previously. Yeah. If you don't know what The 12 is, I've talked to it. It's sort of a Marvel's JSA in a weird way. It's about a group of World War II heroes who get frozen in time and reawakened into the current like Marvel universe. Though it doesn't really... You never see any other Marvel characters really in it. And it's sort of a play on Captain America and sort of a play on the JSA, but I think with a very Marvel twist to it, in the fact that we have all these characters who don't fit into the world. There isn't a place for them really anymore in the world. They're not seen as heroes like the JSA are. They're not icons like Captain America are, so they have to kind of find their way of how they fit into this world. And it's really cool because in reading the first issue, JMSR sets up a thing where you think there's going to be a villain, but as you're going through the story more and more, because in the first issue, one of the guys is dead, and that's the cliffhanger, is that you know at the end one of them's going to end up dead, and you kind of think, oh, who's the villain who's going to do this? But as you're reading along, like, it could be suicide, or it could be one of the other ones, because you're starting to see that there isn't going to be, like, some villain that's pulling strings against them. Like, their biggest enemy is the fact they don't fit into this world, and, for instance, you know, in this issue, there's a character who goes by the Blue Blade, who he has a TV show that he talked his way into getting to last issue, and all the reviews are horrible because it's really unfunny, and he wants to be like a big Hollywood star. There's the Phantom Reporter, who's just this reporter who's gotten a column, but he's got writer's block, and he doesn't know how to fit into this world. There's Rockman, who claims he's the lost monarch of like an underground civilization, but it kind of turns out that he's really just a guy who was a miner whose family died in an accident, and that he's been a
mental... Did that happen in this issue?
Yeah.
You just spoiled it for me.
It's not that big of a deal. I spoiled it
I thought he was a monarch.
And
is that seriously an old Marvel character?
Yeah. There's an old Timely, I think. I don't think we're ever under the sort of Marvel banner. And the Phantom Reporter's pining after Black Widow, who's hanging out like in a goth club with these goth girls. And
now she does fit into that.
Yeah, well, they make a joke about where the goth girl's like, you know, we all pretend about all this like evil stuff, but I get the feeling that she's
not pretending.
She's not pretending. And that's it's a really cool twist on it, because when you see a lot of Golden Age characters, it's sort of the difference between Marvel and DC, in that the JSA very much has a place in the DC universe, mm-hmm. and they're revered as heroes, and they have
their legacies.
They have a legacy that's been passed on, and they're remembered. And even someone like Captain America has found a place in the Marvel universe. But it's sort of like in the Marvel sort of tradition, there's something messed up with all these characters that they can't fit in, and they can't mm-hmm. find a place really in this universe. And I've loved it so far. I know a lot of people say that JMS stories fall apart at the end, and this one could fall apart. But so far, I think it's like this real slow burn book, because there's not a villain to it. You're just watching these characters sort of interact with the world around them. So I don't think there's not going
to
be this big
nothing to
climax.
Pull.
You know,
not so much to pull
yeah,
apart.
There's not. It's
Midnight
like,
Nation was a 12-issue series, and I thought it was great beginning to end.
Yeah.
So I think a 12-issue series
it's not
is,
complicated.
Is a perfect.
Well,
know,
I think maybe
JMS's
problem with bigger stories is that he gets them to a point where there has to be some, you know, very large climax, and he may just not be willing or able to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't see that with this. I don't see
there
being,
world,
like, it's just going to follow these guys as they're trying to find how can they fit in. How do they have a place? You know, one guy is going crazy stopping crimes and stuff, because if he isn't doing that, he's sitting around thinking about how all his family is. He has no one in the world, so he spends all his time doing the superheroing. And we have a guy who's incredibly sensitive to, like, radio transmissions and, like, TV. And back in the 40s, that wasn't a big deal.
With
but
all
in the current world,
them, yeah.
the world is so loud, he has to, like, lock crazy, himself yeah. away. You know, so it's all stuff like it's nice little twists on sort of a lot of the traditional golden age sort of characters, right. you know.
I think one of the things I like about it so much is the idea, you know, a lot of times when we think about the 40s and 50s, especially World War II and that era, you know, it's very much rose-colored glasses, and it's such a revered era in America, especially. Yeah. But a lot of these characters come to this time with sensibilities from the 50s, but those sensibilities are giving them as much problems.
Or even, like, very time-specific problems, like the one character who pretended he wasn't Jewish to, like, get in, you know. Or Rockman was a guy who was trying to organize his mining town to have, like, a union. Like, these very specific things from that time period that sort of, it's easy to wash over and think that everything in the 40s was... like, let's fight the Nazis.
Right.
Everything's good.
Everything's
you know?
Gold. Yeah, everything,
everything,
you know, the golden
heroes
age.
Heroes are heroes, you know.
Right.
And that's not to say that, you know, I love the JSA, too. I mean, it's two different sides of, you know, a way of looking at the past. You know, both are valid, but both are very
real.
Different. Yeah, they're both real. They both have a sensibility to them that's legitimate. So I've loved it so far. If you like the JSA... I would recommend reading the 12 as being
kind of Marvel's JSA.
Yeah, a nice twist on it.
What could have been Marvel's JSA?
Yeah, just like a nice twist on that sort of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And the art's awesome. I love Chris Weston's art in this. There's a couple times where you see how really sad the characters are. You know, their faces really show that they don't fit in, you know, in this world.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for that one to come out and trade.
It's going to be nice. It's going to be a nice trade.
What
that's
issue
nice.
Is that?
Six.
Oh, so it's halfway done.
It's halfway done. And it's on a month. I think they've got it all wrapped up, so I don't think
it's probably already finished or close to it. Cool.
Hello, this is Steve Niles, and you are listening to Around Comics.
Mr. Norton, what do you got for us? Good sir.
French fries.
A juice.
What was that? Your malt liquor review. Not being prepared?
Your malt liquor choice.
What, does this have to be something we read?
No.
Like this week?
No, no, man. It could be whatever.
Free. I'm trying to think of things that just came up. Two recent things I read that I thought were really good were, because everybody was telling me how great this new, Spider-Man Weekly was, I bought the slot Marcos Martin.
Oh, yeah. That
three
was
issue.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was... I haven't read Spider-Man since... I can't even remember. I bought the Garney Straczynski issues only for Garney's art. And so I don't even know what happened in those issues. I completely missed Brand New... or One More Day or all that stuff that everybody was burning comics for. but this really was... If I hadn't heard about all the controversy and stuff, I would have picked this up and gone, why is everything back to 1979? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's definitely nice.
Is it just good Spider-Man
stories? It's great Spider-Man stories.
It's funny. Mean,
it's exactly what, you know what, when me and Sean came up with Gravity, this was the kind of stuff we were wanting to do. Was this kind of these kind of stories, you know? It's, you know, that was the Spider-Man that we remembered, and now it apparently he's back, you know.
Well, it was awesome because it was Marcos Martin had done the art on that Doctor Strange book with Brian K. Vaughan.
Oh, okay.
And so the art is
he is kind
awesome.
Of like a spiritual successor to Ditko in many
ways. And
I mean, he's got his own thing definitely. I mean, he's more of he's got this, you know, South American style, I think, more akin to like Javier Pulido and these other guys, but he's definitely got that Ditko thing going on. So and just his layouts on this book, he's doing all kinds of stuff where all the panels on a page are of the same shot.
Yeah.
But there's different things going on. And I haven't seen that in a long time. Or, I mean, done this well.
Yeah.
So it was just very entertaining on both fronts.
And it was cool because they introduced, like, new characters. You know, like, how often in comics...
Right.
Do you actually
see
people...
And I've been reading that that's what they've been doing through this whole series, is, like, lots of new villains and stuff.
It's
like
all
that.
Been new villains.
Yeah. Which
that
is...
I mean, that was early Spider-Man. It was one new villain after the other. Yeah.
This is... I mean, Slott's dialogue is great as always. He excels at that. I mean, it's funny as hell.
And the story is
Spider-Man's
really
who you want to be funny.
The story is also... you know, when you said it's like a flashback to 1979, it is kind of, but also... There's elements of the story that are very
updated.
Modern.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
of course. Yeah, like totally
the,
modern.
Yeah, like
the whole paparazzi angle, which is such a brilliant idea. Of course you would think about that with Peter Parker.
Yeah, if, like,
you
being
know?
Caught in that situation.
No, it's
kind of like in the 80s when they put him on the news magazine. You know, what was it, Now Magazine or something like that? I mean, it made sense.
I mean, you know, actually even have a new... You know, editor. There's a new editor of the Daily Bugle, new owner.
It's called
the
DB.
The DB now.
That kind of reminded me a little bit of Superman 4 for a little bit.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then I got. I was like, this is done way better than Superman 4.
I liked it so much that I was like, have they all been this good?
I've heard Zeb Wells has been doing a really nice job.
Zeb and Chris Bacciello did
I didn't read those. These have been the only ones I've read. In fact, I didn't pay attention to any of the stuff before, so. The whole thing about all the Mary Jane aspects were a little bit confusing to me, but not enough that I cared at all. I mean, it was totally readable.
Well, yeah, because Mary Jane shows up in the issue.
And plus, you get the idea that she knows what's going on.
Yeah, or it's very... It could go either way.
It's definitely vague on purpose.
Yeah, but it's really funny, and it's nice.
It's been like that way since the... Last day or one more day or whatever.
Yeah.
Since that event or whatever, it's been. I mean, that has been the tone throughout it. I mean, it's been different writers, different artists, but the tone has very much been a sort of whittled down to the roots of Spider-Man, but still the modern look at it. At it, and it just isn't taking itself.
I was
as
just
serious.
Impressed by how many
I
new
might,
characters.
Yeah, I
like
might check out. Go back and check out the other ones now, and I might check it out from now on. The only thing that might hinder me from that is, I mean, I love the combination of Slott and Martin.
Right.
I love Dan Slott's writing. I mean, it's the only thing that kept me reading.
And Martin's art was
She-Hulk
phenomenal.
After
sure.
Bobbio left, you know. Pelletier was awesome, too. So.
Yeah. That's because he's like Byrne.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I love that about his artwork. But
me, too.
I'm
still pissed
that's
about
the only
Fantastic
reason I bought
Four.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I hate cosmic crap, but I bought that book because he drew it.
Oh, so good.
And it's snarky and clever.
But I don't know if I'm going to like the other guys as much.
But I think
I know
cool.
I like Zeb's stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll just have to give it a try.
You know,
but that's the thing. This book makes me want to do that, and that's exactly what they want.
I think it's cool, too, because I also got the sense that if you miss three issues...
It's not a big
you're
deal.
Not gonna, like, you're not going to be...
They catch you up. They use all the editor stuff.
That
know.
Is perfect. I don't. It's not
I didn't
perfect,
feel like
but
I
it's a great idea editorially.
Yeah.
I think just they've done it so well because you could have gone either way. To me, it's a book that... probably the only book on the stands really right now that can accomplish two things. One, really appeal to older comic book fans that want that Spider-Man, and at the same time appeal to new Spider-Man fans that watch the movies or whatever and are just getting to it now. Really hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with a character like that.
It's great because it is three times a month, so it's not even done in one.
Right.
But you're getting the same... I mean, you're getting a story every month.
And it's
but
it's a short...
It's
like
bigger.
And it's also like a three-part...
Three-part arc.
So, like, you can...
Well, three-part
arc. I mean, so now that we're talking about it, it's just kind of actually sinking in how... brilliant this idea actually is.
You know, I mean, everybody gave those guys so much crap for wanting to do what they were doing, but obviously it seems like they had
it was just
really
it was just how they got there. I mean, they had they had to pull some teeth to
There's no but at this point what does it
mean about breaking eggs, I guess. Yeah. I mean, everything I read about it, I mean, the whole how they got there, I was just like, really? I don't want to do nothing with that. Yeah. And that's why I didn't.
But if the product's
good.
Wasn't
even interested in going out and getting it, but I heard so many good things about this.
Yeah, the product's good. Yeah. It wins out.
Nope. People will forgive. Marcos
Martin's art is.
People will forgive.
He's fantastic. That Oath was a great miniseries.
What people perceive as like a betrayal of continuity, they will forgive if you give them good
stories.
Stories. Because that's what people want and that's what they buy. They don't buy, well, I'm sure some people do. They don't buy continuations of, you know. Well, some people do. Like I've always said, it's the purpose of these books, like the entertainment value of these books, goes beyond making sure that the Marvel handbook makes sense. I mean,
right. tight continuity with bad stories are still bad comics.
They're still bad, you know, and like whatever. I don't think how they got to was like the greatest way ever, but if it means that I get really good Spider-Man comics,
the pain is over.
You paid your
due.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a fictional fucking character, you know. Like
nobody died for real. You know? It's
all right. I love that. They were great comics. I thought the same thing when I got done. I was like, I can't believe that I'm, really want to check out all the Spider-Man stuff.
I'm excited. I mean, that is the best. I mean, especially these days, it seems more and more about entertainment in general. I feel more jaded, and I feel like the population in general is more jaded about entertainment. Yeah.
Mm.
So when you do find something like that, that's almost, it's like pure in a way, you get excited about it. So I mean that makes me excited when I do find something that's like, oh, I can be excited about something for once, you know? Instead of like wondering when the other shoe's gonna drop.
You're like, oh, this is good.
Nice. Yeah. Something else that's good. It's my top of the stack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I heard that sucked. I'm kidding. I don't even know what you're old enough.
We've talked about it I think once before on the show. Walking
to this top of this.
Did you pick this?
The first issue.
Walking Key.
So many books.
IDW Publishing. It's by Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez is on art, and this is the fifth issue in the first six issue story arc, and from beginning to end, this has been probably the comic I've enjoyed the most this year. It is
really,
yeah. Each issue,
I've heard good things about it.
It is the first of all.
It's a real writer.
It's yeah.
Sorry, it's Joe Hill.
No offense.
It's Stephen King's son.
Joe Hill.
Joe Hill is.
And
is
he's
Stephen,
a real writer because he's Stephen King's son.
Well, he's also a real writer.
He's
he writes a bunch
it's
of books.
You would
books.
Yeah. What?
You can tell he A is a very good writer, but B he understands comics, and there are novelists that have tried to write comics and it doesn't translate.
It doesn't work.
There are comic book writers that have tried to write novels and it doesn't always work. Yeah. It has happened successfully a few times, and this is one where you have a guy that started as a novelist and is writing a really engaging horror series, but it's. I'd say it's probably more of a psychological horror than a. It's, I mean, there are some pretty gruesome moments in it, but it's more on the psychological than the.
I don't even know if I'd call it necessarily a horror. I mean, it certainly has.
It's horror,
like,
suspense.
Supernatural thriller, maybe.
Yeah, but
you know, I don't know if I'd call it straight a horror necessarily, but.
Well, we were talking
it certainly
about
has elements of it
earlier today. What Joe Hill does. As well as his dad does, is that he takes supernatural horror and he marries that with natural horror. He takes you know, just
like a bear, like a ghost bear,
a
real bear.
What happens?
A cyborg puma.
What happens whenever you take a real psychotic person who is really an evil person and you use a supernatural force of some type to push them over the edge and make them that more,
which is a very common theme in Stephen King books.
Absolutely,
I mean, that's almost all of them to some degree.
He's read Daddy's books,
I think. Maybe yes.
He uses this and that frames a story about a family that goes through a truly horrific experience, and he just does such a good job of slowly unveiling why this has happened, and there are these little moments of fact that he drops into it, and oh, okay, well that makes sense, It's smart. It's really well paced. The dialogue is spot on, and Gabriel Rodriguez's art. This guy is really good. And one of the things that I enjoy about the book is it's very cinematic. And I'd be real interested to see a script on this and see how the script and the art are working their way out, because there are so many good camera angles that just hit that suspense meter all the way up, where you as the viewer are seeing something that the character in frame is not seeing. It's something that's either happening behind them, or it's something that the person behind them is not meant to see. And it's just these great subtle reveals. And yeah, it's Lock and Key. Is if you like any sort of suspense or horror suspense or really just good comics, Lock and Key is something you should be checking out. It's the best thing that IDW's ever put out.
Oh, ever?
I like it better than 30 Days of Night. It's, I mean, it's.
Thing I, well, and it's, I think
it's,
I said,
it's a good comic.
I think the thing I said when I first picked the first issue that impressed me so much about it was his ability to explain all the backstory and everything you needed to know about any of the characters without ever using any type of exposition or boring you with any type of unnecessary information. The whole time, you know, he gives you all the information you need to have, at the same time telling you a very good story,
mm-hmm.
which is something you see a lot of people have a hard time doing. You know, we talked about novelists coming over and not being successful in comic writers. I think, you know, because it's such a different skill set of in a novel you have thousands and thousands of words and no set time to, you know, no set limit to tell the story and tell the backstory and tell everything you need to know about a character. And then at the same time in comics, you have the set limit, but, you know, I think too many writers sometimes fall back on sort of easy ways out mm-hmm. of telling you a good story when they need to tell you information. And I just think he does a tremendous job of mixing the two.
He's telling a very thick story, but he also nails the 22-page cliffhanger. Every issue, it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I'm sold. I've it's probably my favorite book this year so
far. Just wait, next issue the cliffhanger will be on page 21.
No.
And then like 22 will be a bunch of characters standing around.
Last issue.
Looking down.
I would say don't worry at all about seeing this turned into a movie.
I want to say I've already read about that. Hadn't they?
I think they already did. Yeah. I think it's already been optioned.
Man, it's
wasn't it like before the book
before
came
it was
out?
I think,
released?
Yeah, something. I think like right before it was released, the first issue was released. They announced it.
No, it deserves it.
That's good. I'm glad that it's backed up by quality. So these days, you never know.
Yeah, I mean and that's the thing. It really is just, you know, you tie a bow around it. It's a quality product. Gabriel Rodriguez, have you guys seen his work
heard
before?
Never heard of him. Yeah, I never seen him before.
He reminds me of a guy I know named Jeremy Dale, who's actually working on a couple of projects with Tim Seeley.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think he got hired away by Marvel. So
I'd also like to mention Jay Photos. It's Fotos is the colors. The color on the book, it sets such a great mood, and that's definitely a big part of the art as well. So yeah, Lock and Key, and check it out if you haven't. It is if you can still find it, because I know that the first issue sold out pretty quickly. So anyway, that's my top of the stack, Mr. Salazar.
My top of the stack is one that kind of surprised me. I didn't really go into it thinking I'd love it, but I had heard a lot of good things about the recent Superman stuff that Jeff Johns and company had been doing on Action and on the Superman book, so I happened to pick up...
I picked the last issue as my top of the stack. Okay.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Toyman issue?
I picked up... Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You did.
Yeah.
I picked up Action 866, Brainiac Part 1 by Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, John Seibel, I believe is his name. You know, initially when I first started reading it, I was actually a little annoyed at the way that Superman is obviously being portrayed as from the film, the first mm-hmm. Superman films, the Richard Donner
And it's no secret that, you know, John's worked with Donner and all that stuff. But and so for some reason I was just kind of annoyed at how much these characters looked like the characters from, or the actors from the film. But by the end of it, I was actually really happy with just the whole package and the fact that I started going, well, you know what? That's always been my favorite Superman.
It's the Superman you like.
Yeah, it's the Superman I like, so why would I be upset right. by it? You know, I sort of like, you know, thought to myself.
It's not like it's
hey,
traced.
Yeah.
Like it just looks like.
But even the mannerisms and with this story in particular, you know, the way that he you know, he's bringing back some characters like the gossip
columnist.
Steve Lombard, the sports guy that gives, yeah,
it's
Cat
a great
Grant
scene.
And that kind of thing. It just everything about it, I mean, it just has that Donner feel to it. But I really did enjoy it. And Gary Frank's art, I think, is. I've always liked his stuff, but I've always had some issues with like his faces and that kind of thing. But I think this is one of my favorite issues that he's done of stuff. I just thought it was absolutely gorgeous, and he actually seems to be getting better with the stuff that I had problems personally with. And overall, it was just really enjoyable. Like I said, it was I hadn't really been reading any Superman stuff, so I have no idea. I've never been that big of a Superman comic book fan.
Yeah. Neither have I, but I really like the Johns.
Johns gets that character.
And, yeah, it was just a cool...
You know what I like about it?
Cool, good Superman story.
What I like about it is when you think about Superman, and you think about Superman is this character that seems to chew up supporting characters and cast them aside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like besides Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen mm-hmm. and Perry White and his parents... Everyone else comes around. Even villain. How many versions of Brainiac have you seen? You know, you've seen like.
Well, I was telling Chris, I'm like, well, I don't even understand Brainiac.
Yeah,
so
we want to.
No,
wanna
yeah, you have to.
Like, doesn't matter.
It's
yeah,
like whenever someone takes over Superman and says, "I'm gonna remake Superman," they come up with their own version of Brainiac. You
right.
have to because you've seen 50 versions of it.
Yeah.
But then when you look at what I really like with what Geoff Johns is doing with it, it's like you look through all the stuff that's gotten chewed up by like the Superman machine. And you sort of start picking up things that maybe shouldn't have gotten tossed away so casually, like the Legion of Superheroes maybe shouldn't have been thrown away, you
yeah,
know.
His relationship with them. And
having people at the Daily Planet who are actual characters maybe is not a bad idea to play up that point, you know, like, and these aren't new characters, they're just people that were in the books.
They're Clark's co-workers.
Yeah, and it's like, but if you want to make Clark a more interesting character, then have him have to interact with, you know. And it's funny because Grant Morrison's doing the same thing in All-Star Superman, where he had Steve Lombard and he had the people in the, you know, picking up the stuff.
I think you
that
have
got thrown
to. I mean, I
aside.
Think that's why I haven't enjoyed Superman for so long, really, because it's always just becomes like, okay, who's the next more powerful villain that Superman fights? Because that's all that because
he's
be
Superman.
Because well, it's like, you know, I mean, Superman is such a ridiculous character in the fact that if to write him is difficult because he's so powerful, you know, and so you have to go beyond that. You can't. It just can't just be an action book that he just goes out and fights the next bad guy or somebody pulls out kryptonite. And I mean, it gets very boring and repetitive, you know. So the only way to really do anything more with it is to bring in that other interaction and relationships and
or
to
show
kind of
and I think he's done that with all the he did that with the Geoff Johns did the Legion stuff with show the way to make Superman likable is you show Superman being friends like having real friendships with other people that's the key you make him
there was a great Jimmy Olsen moment where Jimmy's late for the meeting and he comes in, and while Perry's yelling at him, he kind of whispers to Clark, it's like, oh, hey, I'm following up this lead on this story. And it was a very human moment of, hey, this is my friend, and I've got
Jimmy Olsen's more than just, like, the attached sidekick. When written correctly, he's not Batman. He has friends. Mm-hmm. You know, he has people that, you know, like, the reason the Legion of Superheroes story I thought was so good is showing that Superman as a kid obviously didn't have other friends that were kids that were human, you know, so who were his friends?
Clark likes people.
Yeah,
he actually likes to be around people. He likes to interact with people. He likes to have friends, as opposed to, like, said Batman.
And he kind of likes to fuck with people a little bit, too.
He's got a sense of humor. Yeah. I mean, he's got that innocence to him, but when written correctly, he's also sort of got a playful, you know, like, he is a normal person in a lot of ways, But I think when people write Superman badly, that gets obscured by Superman fighting.
The icon.
Yeah, it's Superman fighting, you know,
Lex
giant
Luther.
Alien after giant right. alien, giant, and you never, like, to me, if you never show Superman as Clark, you don't show the character to its full, you know, depth, because it's he's more than just the guy, like...
In the cape.
Yeah, he's more than the guy, there's someone else, you know,
right.
behind that, you know.
Well, he's very much, I mean, he, regardless of his abilities and powers, he grew up here. He grew up in, you know, Kansas.
He's from
yeah.
Kansas.
You know what yeah. I mean? He's just a kid from Kansas that, and I think that just gets forgotten, especially, I mean, you know, not to hearken back to the 90s or whatever else, but, I mean, it just, it seemed like he became so much bigger and more of a representative of things. You know, it became all of a sudden Truth, Justice, and the American Way.
Yeah.
As opposed to just him being Superman.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he became like this icon that's all that people wrote about him is, you know, he's this Boy Scout. He is the heroes all look up to him. The, you know,
see, what's funny,
which
they,
is like, you know,
when people say he's like the big blue ways. Boy Scout, I always think of it as sort of, it's sort of an interesting metaphor, because people say that and it's like the idea that the Boy Scout's like perfect, but I was a Boy Scout. You know, like
right,
you know,
so
like it's like more.
Well, you are,
when
you
I
are
think
perfect,
of it,
Tom.
No, but I think of it as
well,
it's like a metaphor for the American experience. He's the ultimate immigrant. He's the
right,
ultimate
yeah.
like.
Well, not only that, I think when they talk about Boy Scout, it's his values and ideals, but
yeah.
they turn it into perfection as opposed
yeah,
to something to attain or something that he. You know,
holds as being important.
Exactly.
As
well,
yeah.
well, I think
he is perfect.
Well,
there
yeah.
are,
never,
there, I think
never
there's
wrong.
Also
he's never, you know,
there's
never
also a jealousy
fails.
that's attached to that. It's like, oh, you know, he's the Boy Scout. He's everything that nobody else can be. And I think that there's a certain
yeah.
amount
but,
of jealousy
I mean,
that
right
gets
in
attached
the sense
to that.
That to when you do that correctly, when you do a book correctly, that it's not that Superman is perfect. It's that he takes whenever he makes a mistake. It's like the world crashes down around him
right.
because he thinks he has to be...
Hold up
everything. He's isn't
he's
perfect.
Like, yeah.
He thinks he has to be perfect.
Right.
And he's so close. I mean, he's the one person in the world who could realistically attain...
Perfection.
Perfection.
Yeah.
You know, he can stop everything. He can, but he can't, because then there wouldn't be any stories. So
right.
that's where the stories come from, is the fact that he... And Brainiac's really fucking creepy.
Yes,
too.
Yeah,
it actually
yeah.
made Brainiac creepy.
Good Lord, that double page spread of all of the
Bottle
the,
Cities. Yeah.
That was
yeah, that was
awesome.
Cool. I mean, the first couple of pages is very Terminator-ish, you know, with these giant
yeah.
robot things that are killing everyone.
Jeff Johns, I think, is insisting upon making every all the Superman villains make sense, and I hope it doesn't make him go crazy. He's like, every version of Brainiac has to fit in, and I'm going to make
this
a story that makes them all fit together.
This page with Kat trying to seduce
oh, yeah, trying
Clark
to make
was probably my favorite page.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
Because
oh,
that
great
was a perfect
art,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
Hey, he was just messing with
great.
Her.
Yeah, I know, but it's just a perfect example. I mean, that to me is like prototypically Donner. That's
yeah.
what he got about that character
yeah.
so
yeah.
much was that... He wasn't a he was
a
very
stick in the mud.
Yeah, he wasn't a stick in the
yeah.
yeah, exactly. He wasn't just like the you know, this
play the farm boy.
Yeah, I mean
yeah.
he had a, like you said, he had a sense of humor. He had a wry sort of wit to him that mm-hmm. he used a lot and he enjoyed doing, but it just seems to
yeah.
get lost so
well,
much.
Well, playing
you
the
know.
Bumbler leads to very comedic moments, and what's funny about it is that Clark and we as the viewers are the ones that are in on the
well,
joke and nobody
right.
else is.
Superman also suffers from perhaps he is the most overexposed character.
Yeah.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
I when you have at
Except
one point
Wolverine.
You have fucking yeah, well, Wolverine's getting up there, but like years and years of him being in
everything.
And you have it's like a it's so easy to lose track of the things that make the character interesting. And I'm not a big Superman comic book. I don't really like the Superman solo books. I haven't really liked them in a long time. But
it
I
comes,
really
it
like
comes
the Jeff Johns stuff's been really good, and I'm really looking forward to James Robinson.
Yeah.
When James Robinson starts writing the other one, and him and Johns are working on stuff.
Together.
Yeah, and that makes me think, oh, well, they're the ones that put, you know, worked on JSA. You know, I'm just like, oh, could they make Superman that interesting?
Is this what keeps? Is this what keeps you up at night?
Keeps me up at night when I'm like, is Superman going to be really, really interesting?
Yeah, I'm going to have to start.
Someone
going to
find a way to make Superman really interesting.
I hope so. Well, I really enjoyed this issue, and I'll be looking at some additional ones. But
so are you, Mike? Are you working on any Superman stuff in Trinity? Can you give us any?
I haven't
any clues?
Done any Superman related stuff since Countdown.
Okay,
so
I didn't. Yeah, because the way that Trinity's going, it looks like these, you know, don't call them backup stories. They're kind of the supplemental.
They are
story.
Usually the...
Don't call it a
they're
backup.
The other half. They're the, like one side.
It's the same story, usually involving ancillary characters.
Yeah, it's kind of what
so
else
So you're
gonna going
to get
on.
A lot of, like, the you know, how this week the... Or Green next night. Week the Justice League shows up. And so you're going to get to see more,
like
more of Jon Stewart and more of... other characters.
When does your
mine's
stuff?
next week
oh
next,
okay.
week. Next
okay.
week for the next 3 weeks. I think there's a week in there where it's part me and part Scott McDaniel, so cool.
And you had a trade come out this week too.
Did I?
Metamorpho,
yeah, Metamorpho
year one.
Year one.
Oh, okay, cool.
Out. Dude, really?
I didn't know that.
Go pick it up.
Buy it, kids.
Go get it,
I guess.
This is Gene Colan and you are listening to Around Comics.
And that'll take care of our top of the stack. It's now the time of the show where we get to call some of our favorite creators, and we are joined on the line by DC writer Mr. Will Pfeiffer. Will, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing A-okay. We're having a great time.
Just dandy-o.
Yeah. It's Friday night, comic book shop.
My stomach hurts.
Sal ate 20 hamburgers before the show.
I'm preparing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm preparing for my. That well, that's the thing.
We're calling you Wimpy.
I didn't want to tell anybody, but I'm no longer doing the show because I'm entering the world of competitive eating. How many did you have?
I had two.
Oh, okay. What Will?
I was going to say, it'd be tough to beat that Japanese guy that wins everything.
Yeah, well, he's got tendonitis of the jaw now, so if your time's right, to the window right, is there.
Lightning round. How many hamburgers do you think you can eat in one sitting? Go, Norton.
Depends on what kind they are.
Yeah,
White Castle.
White Castle?
Yeah,
holy crap. Sure, I could have 30 of those.
Yeah, I would say probably 30-ish, 35.
Oh, that's funny, because I could do about 31.
Will, how many White Castles for you?
I was going to say 30, but now I've been trumped.
32.
30 pack. Well, Mr. Pfeiffer, Catwoman is coming to its conclusion here pretty soon, and you've been on that book for a good long time. It's kind of a rarity in comics today to see someone on a book for that long. How many issues have you done of Catwoman?
Well, my first issue was 44, and I'll end up with 82. So that's like just shy of 40 issues. What is that? 38?
Yeah,
like that?
38. Jesus.
There you go.
Wow. That's a pretty good run.
I know, yeah. I just handed in the revised script for the last issue, so until the corrected dialogue in that, it's I'm all done. That's it.
Did you send it with tears?
There were little tears. Well, I sent it through email, so it was kind of tough. But I had to do the emoticon.
Well, it's been a great run on the book, and most of that is available in trade. Is it going to be your entire run on Catwoman is going to end up being traded?
Yeah, there's one more trade coming out that I think will collect the last part of the run. And the only thing that isn't traded is the stuff from 1 year later. Stuff with Pete Woods hasn't been traded. And frankly, I don't know if it's going to be. I don't know if they're going to go back and trade that stuff. So everything I did with David Lopez is traded. The Pete Woods stuff probably won't be traded.
All right. Oh, here's Coco, the guard dog, is coming in to sniff the phone. She's checking you out. There you go. All right. She cleared you. Well, another one of the things I wanted to bring up besides your work as a comic book writer, you also work in Rockford writing for the Rockford Register Star, and you did such a great job with the DVD reviews on our magazine style episodes. So thank you. First of all, thank you so much for doing that. They were
that was fun.
It was a treat every week to hear from you. You know, this is a great geek film summer. What have you checked out so far, and what have you liked?
Well, so far, it's still kind of tricky with my daughters. It's tough to get a night out. But we did see Iron Man. Really liked that. Thought that was just great. That's everything a superhero movie should be. I really liked Iron Man. I haven't seen the indie yet. Oh, I think we're going to go see the M. Night Shyamalan movie tomorrow night, which is getting some so-so reviews, but I'm looking forward to it.
Is that the...
It's his first R-rated movie.
That's what I know. I keep hearing that. What does that mean?
That's full frontal nudity.
Bush. That's right. It's got Marky Mark. Is he going to, you know, do the Boogie Nights last night?
You get to see his gong at the end.
I don't ever need to see that ever again.
Oh man, that sears itself in your brain. So
you haven't seen The Incredible Hulk yet?
No, I haven't. It just opened today.
Jesus Christ, well, what are you doing?
I'm there now.
He's in line.
I'm in the theater. I'm reviewing it. The first 5 minutes are awesome.
You're a press guy. You review movies. You know, I figured that you could get the pre screener over there in Rockford.
Oh, yeah, because Rockford's such a big city that they send all that stuff right to me.
It's where the movies go there first.
Well, what are you really looking forward to for the rest of the year? Because there's some, it's such a big slate of comic book and comic book inspired movies. What, Hancock is coming out in a week or so?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that Hancock movie. I'm not a big Will Smith fan, but those trailers, it makes it look like it could be fun. If I ever wrote a superhero movie, it'd be about a drunken superhero, so... Mm-hmm. That's what I'm interested in that.
Yeah, I think Jason Bateman's going to be the surprise star out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I was a huge Arrested Development fan, so yeah, anything he's in, that's money in the bank. And, that Dark Knight movie, that's going to be good, I hope, I think.
I keep forgetting that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's probably the one I'm looking forward to most.
When's it coming out, mid-July or something?
Yeah, July 18th, I think.
Yeah,
that's the one my girlfriend actually wants to see.
Yeah.
She liked the
first one. My wife wants to see it, too. They love that Christian Bale.
I think that's mostly...
Oh, yeah, good point. Didn't think about that.
I went out and bought American Psycho at Best Buy because I thought, something for my wife, because he's he's all together in that. Women don't like that movie.
I won't let my girlfriend watch American Psycho because I know she... It will scare her. But she hates it when people are out of control in movies. One of the movies that makes her the most horrified is 24-Hour Party People. Which
really?
Is like supposed to be sort of a comedy, but she hates out of control drug use.
That's funny. That's an awesome movie.
I love that movie, but I've never heard anyone being scared of it.
She was! She was freaked out at the end, and I was like, what's wrong? I'm like, it's supposed to be a bit of a comedy. And she was like, everyone was out of control.
Well, they were 24-hour party people.
Yeah, exactly.
A loss of control.
I brought my wife to see American Psycho, and she at the end of it, she just turned to me and was like, what the hell was that? Because she just didn't get it.
We saw it in the theater. I liked it. If you really want to scare him, make him read the book.
The book is worse, yeah.
So
come here, little boy. And then, cut his throat. Sometimes...
It's 100 pages of nothing, and then you get to that first murder that goes on for 10 pages. Oh, it's like a medical textbook. Oh.
Yeah, I think it's the best thing Bret Easton Ellis actually did.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
You write Catwoman for comics, and you're a movie guy, so Catwoman the movie?
You know what? You mean the Halle Berry one? Oh my God. I've never seen it.
Neither have I.
Me either.
I haven't seen it. When I first... the Catwoman gig, it was in a Wizard World I don't know how many years ago, and Matt Idelson, who was my editor, offered me the comic, and the very first thing he said, because the movie had just come out that year, is, you don't have to make a movie. That was the first words out of his mouth.
It doesn't have to be like the movie.
As a matter of fact, don't make it like
don't
the
make
movie.
An anime.
Yeah, that was the implied, yeah. Can you imagine if they did make it like the movie? Although, I don't know, some of the fans would have liked it better, because she would have been wearing less clothing and I don't know. You've seen the message boards. That's what some fans want. That's all they want.
But not these fans.
The old one-handed comics. Wink, wink. You know,
more clothes the better.
Skin tight black leather works for me too. I don't have a problem.
That's right. Yeah, see, I know. She's wearing skin tight black leather. Yeah. What do you want?
I don't need much more. Good lord.
Well, it's is there anything on the horizon that we can look for you over at DC Comics?
I gotta say, it's a sad interview. No, I have nothing on the horizon yet. I'm hoping to line some up soon, and I think I probably can't. I've got one more issue of Blue Beetle coming out. I did two fill-ins on that, and then three Catwoman issues left. And I did one Supergirl. And then that's it for now, but I'm hoping something else will
You're retiring.
Well, you'll be out rubbing elbows at Wizard World Chicago, right?
Oh, definitely. I'll be there. I'll be there the whole weekend. So.
Can we have another really long conversation about Grant Morrison, like last year?
That's all I've been looking forward to. We've got all, you know, all these new issues of
All-Star Superman.
Oh, man.
We probably have two new issues.
Yeah, what do I think? We have to have two new issues.
Well, sir, we're definitely going to see you out there at Rosemont, and can't call it Wizard World Chicago. It's Wizard World Rosemont.
And it's nowhere near Chicago.
Yeah. No, it's
a short plane ride from Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. It's a commuter jet away.
It's a $30 cab ride, I'll tell you that.
Oh,
but
man.
We'll definitely share a couple beers and some good stories, some good war stories with each other. And
excellent.
What war have you been involved in?
Comics are a war, man. Comics are a war.
It is a war.
I do want to say that I have really enjoyed your issues on Catwoman. I've been reading it almost since the beginning of you getting on it. So I have really, really enjoyed it. So thank you for
thanks.
That.
I mean, I've had a great time writing it. I wish I could continue, but it's getting canceled, so I'm sorry.
Fan fiction. Sorry, isn't you have to stop, Will.
Right. Could you just send me some scripts after the last issue, maybe? Just, you know.
Yeah, I'll just keep writing it.
Just for me.
They can't stop me.
That's right.
Take that.
That's awesome.
Take that, Time Warner.
Yeah.
I'd like somebody to do that.
Well, they have
been. Would that be the saddest thing ever? A writer of a book just kept writing scripts.
47 issues of unlicensed material.
But wait, when they do bring it back, it's like, I've been waiting.
Yeah, I've got it. We can just start and hit the ground running right now.
I've got it planned out to 125. I got to go. There's a huge payoff.
Yeah, we got to start now. Oh, my God, that was so pathetic. Yeah. I'll bet it's been done at some point, though.
Ditko.
Yeah, Ditko's been writing Spider-Man, I think, for 35 years. Drawing Spider-Man.
He's just waiting for Stan to die.
500 issues in the bank.
He's been ahead of schedule. He's at, like, Amazing Spider-Man, you know, 7,012.
Yeah. He was pissed when One More Day came out. Yeah. I was like, damn it, I did that 15 years ago.
The last 5,000 of all featured the Vulture, though.
Yeah. Like,
another Vulture story.
And then the terrible Tinkerer.
Well, Mr. Pfeiffer, it is always a pleasure talking with you, and thanks again for all the help earlier this year with the movie reviews.
Problem.
It was awesome, and definitely looking forward to hooking up with you out in Rosemont.
First,
in a couple
his
weeks.
Podcast is canceled, then his book is canceled. Jesus Christ!
He's been doing DVD reviews.
Have you been doing
industry?
Have you been doing movie reviews without us? Just audio reviews.
I've got him ready.
I keep noticing these files uploaded to the FTP for some reason.
It's got like a 20 gig hard drive. Load it up. Just let me know. I'll bring it by the store.
Nice. All right, Will. Well, hey, you have a great rest of your Friday night, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, take care.
See
Good
you in Rosemont.
Again.
Yes.
All right, Will.
All right, we'd like to thank Will Pfeiffer for chit-chatting with us. He's really one of the good guys in comics. We like the Will.
Thanks, Will.
I remember last year at Wizard World, you and him, I walked up accidentally to your table as you were in depth on the
conversation. We had a really long conversation about All-Star Superman.
Man, I just walked away. I just turned around and said, yeah, I'm not drunk enough for that.
That was a really long
not where I want to be right now. Well, I tell you what, everyone, let's wrap this sucker up. A couple quick notes here. If this has not sated you, you want to hear more around comics personalities throughout the week, you can certainly do so by checking out Tom versus the JLA.
Please.
Tom is you're about three episodes a week right now on Tom versus the JLA.
I did two this past week because I had to go out to dinner on Thursday. Isn't that the best thing about podcasting? Was like I can't do one because I have to go out to dinner.
That's completely
acceptable. I'm like doing like three a week is a good. I think I'll probably pick up a little bit more. My girlfriend's going to Pittsburgh for a month.
Ah, you'll have some free time. So a little free time. Tom will just be like,
there will be.
I miss my girlfriend.
I gotta get to the end of the Justice League. It's
killing you.
So no, it's just Aquaman.
How far do you? How many do you? Does he really?
The Justice League Detroit years. Aquaman's like making people shut up using telepathy, and his wife left him, and he's just. There's a scene where one of the Justice League members is swimming in a pool, and Aquaman thinks a good lesson to teach him is to wait in the pool and then jack him in the stomach as he's swimming and goes, you got to be ready at all times.
What's a, give him a Sunday special.
Yeah,
huh?
A Sunday special, yeah.
He's like a frat boy.
Like, no, oh Aquaman, God. He's like this sexually repressed frat boy whose wife left him, who... wants to teaches people's lessons at the worst times, you know. Like I'm gonna punch you in the stomach. It's not the best time for me to teach you this lesson about this. And then immediately afterwards, when he's by himself, he thinks, "Oh, this is why I'm such a bad leader." And it's true because it's funny because everyone thinks what. I can't understand why anyone wants Aquaman to lead them, because guy got kicked out of his own fucking kingdom. Right? People exiled him, all right? Like,
yeah, this is the guy you're picking to lead.
Yeah, and this is the guy that you're, like, what would Aquaman do in this situation? Well, Aquaman would do the worst thing if he's leading you, yeah.
Well, are you going to do a big wrap-up episode once you finish?
When I finish the Justice League?
Yeah.
I'll talk a lot about Hawkman and Aquaman. Those are my two. The Hawkman douchebag years of the 70s, and then the Aquaman...
Like, terrible leadership.
Terrible leadership skills. The Aquaman School of Leadership.
Yeah.
Which
and,
if,
and Batman Red Tape.
If we followed that when we just took a break, you would have sneak attacked me and hit me with a bottle. And been like, you should have been ready.
Hey, you got to be ready at all times, Tom.
You got to be ready at all times.
You're in the podcast league.
Oh, that's a snippet of what you get on Tom versus the JLA, by the way. If you want to hear a little bit more of me, which I think we're actually going to rename 11 O'Clock Comics, Old Man Chris
Angry
bitches
old.
About shit.
It's like a metaphor.
Who called the drunk guy? Yeah, what man. Should
like,
be called?
It's like comic books hit a ball into his yard, and he's, hey! What's all? I haven't liked comics since they stopped being 70 pages back in the 40s. That was when
get
a comic book
lawn.
Was a comic book. No creators were credited. You didn't know who did any of it. It was the best.
11 O'Clock Comics. Many bourbon-fueled rants.
A lot
on there.
Of anger.
Yeah, I think I was pretty surprised by that.
So
like,
much
whoa,
anger
what?
Involved.
Yeah.
He's gotten all this stuff out of him on that show. No, he doesn't bring it here, but man, oh man.
I'm glad you're doing it, though. I'm glad it's probably cheaper than therapy.
It does, you know, it's such a different exercise for me than this show. I'm able to, you know,
and
work
you feel,
stuff
you must
out.
Feel comfortable with everyone knowing about your drinking problem.
It's now that every Wednesday...
His only problem is he doesn't put it down.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday I have to come up with a new bourbon drink now is my little theme. So, and you have to test them out before the show. And that's
yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Good Lord.
No!
And then also, Scotty Young is back among the podcasters.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, he's got two episodes of The Devil and Me.
I've been arguing with my own girlfriend, so I kind of feel I'm like, I'm going to wait till she's gone. And then I'll listen to it. Because right now I've had a lot of...
I think I'll actually be on next week. I'm going to record with those guys.
Oh, really?
Monday.
Yeah. Are you going down there?
No. Just
over Skype, phone?
Yeah, just
over via letter?
Phone. Yeah, I'm going to write. I'm going to teletype everything,
they
all my responses.
Have subscribed to the Salazar newsletter.
What?
Your newsletter.
Oh,
you
yeah, exactly.
Bi-weekly.
And they're just going to read it.
Yeah, and just read it on.
No, yeah. I think we'll Skype it.
Read
up
your Twitters. So yeah, check out the Devil and Me for Scotty and Casey and their relationship and thoughts and views and all sorts of.
It's not they
stuff.
Call it a relationship, but it's not a relationship show.
I don't know. It sort of is. I'm very. I yeah. Well, just the fact that most of it's them going back and forth, you could call that a relationship show. I don't know if they're helping anybody.
I don't. Well,
if,
maybe.
But I mean, just by witnessing what could happen to you,
yeah.
It's kind of
see, that's why I'm waiting until my girlfriend's gone, and I'm really looking for that. I have enough back and forth right now that I like solitary loneliness whenever I can get it.
You need that interaction.
And I think like in July, I'm really.
It's very entertaining. I hope that it stays exactly the same. Like they don't change anything about it because it's pretty darn. Near perfect the way it is right
nice.
Now. So
yeah, it is good. It is
at that same time of just you know that being a relationship show is the Crankcast a relationship show?
Yeah,
well we broke up. He left the state.
You take the kids with him.
What's a long distance relationship yeah. now, right?
No, I got to keep ninjas. So.
So check out the Crankcast as well. If you have enjoyed what you heard today and liked the show, please do us a favor and drop by the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Thanks to JT Boy Wonder and Andre Barakat for
listen to the other 187 episodes
before you write.
Yeah,
one.
If you've liked this one, yeah.
And JT Boy Wonder is also a poster on our forum. And if you want to join one of the best online comic book communities, you can do so by going to...
I made that up. I don't know.
He might be. I don't know.
An executive transvestite?
It could be an executive transvestite. With a name like JT Boy Wonder, he's probably not.
There you go. Well, you can talk to JT Boy Wonder and other folks by going to his open.
Jesus Christ. He wrote us a fucking review.
Well, you can talk to JT Boy Wonder and other folks by going to aroundcomics.com and visiting our forum. Please check that out. Always good conversations.
I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Sal, Tom,
you're here
Mike,
once a month, buddy.
Mark Beatty for hosting us every recording session at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. And Hank, who just walked in. Hank, thanks for being late.
To do.
Whoa. Yeah, whoa. I just got big time.
Would he sound like that if his dad was around?
Young up and comer, man. He's got stuff to do.
Watch this boy.
Got places to go.
I got sugar to do if his dad was around.
Remember, if you're going to be at Wizard World Chicago next week on Friday at 2 o'clock, we have our podcasting panel. Check that out.
What's next week?
When this airs.
What time is it at? Really? 2 o'clock?
Yeah. Or 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's the 27th, 28th, 29th. I got a week ahead of myself. So, yeah, we'll be there. Check that out. And
come
out,
man. I was getting nervous.
Be good times.
Ask the podcasting panel if they've ever felt like they've wasted their lives.
Yes.
Plus, you'll get a lot of different answers.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of... Yes. I would mean yes.
I felt like I wasted my life before I was on a podcast.
Oh, wow. You're sort of evangelical about
podcast. Podcast saved his life.
That's right.
He's going to be up there.
The podcast saved my life last night.
All right. Taught me that I really wanted to go and do something else.
Really fired me up.
We'll be back again on next Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime...
I ain't saying it.
Come on.
I'm not here. That's
old format. This is a format. Another
format change.
We're
going back.
Again, they hate that.
Around...
We'll be everywhere in
and around.
Yeah, now. David Lowe.
Last time we're ever doing that.
Nah. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.